James chapter 1, we'll go to verse number 20. It says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye," what does it say?
Doers
of the word, and not what?
Hearers
only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I pray that you'd use this passage of Scripture, Lord, to help us and to teach us, Lord, some things in our life that we should do and should not do. And Lord, I pray that you would just help me as I preach it, guide my words in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A pastor was preaching one time, and he showed how to pick out the promises and the commands in Scripture and what to do with them. Finally, he reviewed and he asked, "Now, what do you do with the commands?" And a little old lady raised her hand and she said, "I underline them in blue." And it's, oh, okay. I don't think that's what James wanted or that God wanted us to do with the commands in Scripture. It makes for maybe a colorful Bible, but that's really not the purpose of them. In your Bible. The Bible says, "When we receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls," we must be aware of dangers that exist anytime we interact with the Word of God. God's Word is trying to point out things to us in Scripture. Sometimes when we read, have you ever read your Bible before? You got through reading and you just couldn't think of what you read. You couldn't remember. If someone asks you, "What did you just read in your Bible?" You're like, it was in John chapter 11, but I don't remember what it was about. Have you ever done that before? All right. Happens. It's amazing how you can read through something and your mind can be thinking about something else and you can get through 2, 3, 4 chapters and can't even recall. How did I actually read through that? It's mind boggling sometimes. But what we have to do as Christians, is we have to train ourselves to be mindful of what we are reading. Sometimes we don't cherish this thing enough, and sometimes all we care about more is checking off a box that we got through reading and we're staying on schedule, which is great that you are making it a daily routine, but at the end of the day, what is the purpose of your Bible reading if you're not getting anything out of it? This portion of Scripture is not diminishing the importance of hearing the Word. Hearing the Word is very important. How can we know what to do if we don't hear the Word of God? But this portion of Scripture is warning us of the dangers of becoming a hearer only of the Word of God. To hear the Word of God and not do it leads to deception. But to hear the Word of God and do it leads to blessing. How many of you ever followed God's Word and God blessed you with something? You ever had that before? And you did what Scripture said and you said, "Wow, that actually worked. I might do that again. Man, God does know what he's talking about." And the problem is sometimes we do God's word. We do follow God's word and we do apply it to our life sometimes. But sometimes as mature Christians, if you're here on a Wednesday night, the chances are you've been coming to church for a long time. You've heard a lot of preaching. You've heard a lot of Scripture. You've heard a lot of teaching. And you've heard it many, many times to the point where sometimes you're just becoming a hearer. And you forget to do what you've been preached to about. I know as a Christian, I've heard the same topic or the same subject or the same chapter or the same book preached to many times in my life. I've born into a church from the day I was born. I mean, I was in church the first Sunday. I mean, it's all I've known. I can't even count how many thousands of messages that I've heard from God's Word. But there's been times in my life where I have to stop myself and say, "What in the world? What have I been getting out of preaching lately? What have I been using?" Because sometimes we come to church and we say, "Amen," or "Man, that's good, that's great." But then when Monday comes, or when Thursday comes, we don't think about anything that was just taught and preached. My dad would talk about when he was growing up as a teenager, Him and his dad did not have a good relationship. My grandpa was a very quiet person. My dad said he hardly ever heard his dad ever say the words, I love you, to him. Even though he loved him, my grandpa was a pastor, but he just was a very quiet man. He was the type of person that if he said, I love you once, if he changed his mind, he'd let you know. And so you should just always know that he loved you. And so for my dad, it was funny because my grandma was the complete opposite. You know, she was just, I love you every day, telling him all of that all the time. Well, my grandpa's rules got to my dad, and my grandpa was he was a first generation Christian, and he was more harsh with things and didn't know how to portray. He would be the first one to tell you, I'm not just making this up, he'd be the first to tell you wasn't very good at showing you that he loved you. And so during my dad's teen years, they became a lot of friction between them. And my dad had a great relationship with his mom, but during his teen years, he got rebellious towards my grandpa. And he would hear preaching and wouldn't even listen to it. I just didn't care. And he had a job working somewhere at a pizza place and was starting to go the wrong direction. But there was a man in the church that hired him. He was a farmer, and they would have to drive a good hour and a half into the mountains to go and do jobs. And so they were in the truck a lot. And this man was one of the main men in the church. And every time they'd get in the vehicle at 6 a.m., he'd say, well, Steve, man, wasn't that message your dad preached just incredible? Man, I love that. What did you think about point number one? My dad'd sit there and just be like, I don't know. And he'd say, well, what about point number two? I mean, I thought it was great. What did you get out of it? And my dad realized real quick, okay, I better start listening because I got to start taking some notes or I'm going to forget. So he said, I started coming prepared. And he's like, you know what happened? When I started paying attention to the preaching, this man put the pressure on me that our conversations on Monday morning were going to be about what my dad preached the night before or the day before. And on Thursday when I came to work, man, that was what we were going to talk about. And if I was going to have any part of the conversation, I better know what my dad preached the day before. And so he said, I started, not for the right reasons, but he said, I started paying attention. And he said, you know what happens when I started paying attention to God's word? I started getting something out of it. I started listening more because I had to take some notes and I had to actually process what was being preached to me so that I could have a conversation. Well, what I got out of it was this. This is how it helped me. Even though he didn't want to be helped, it started helping him. And thank God for that man. My dad's told many, many stories about him. And now that man is one of the most influential men in his life because during a time where he didn't have a good relationship with his dad, he steered him back and took valuable time, those hours of driving and being able to help my dad get him back on track and teaching him, you can't just listen, you got to apply this right away. James gives us three warnings about those who hear the word without doing it. Number one, hearers only of the word take a quick glance, but don't do anything to fix what they see. They take a quick glance, but don't do anything to fix what they see. How many of you have ever gone in the mirror before and looked in the mirror, Brother Jeff, and said, yeah, hair looks great today. I don't need to fix nothing. You walk out. That's a quick glance right there. You don't have to look very long. But the rest of us that have some hair, on a Sunday afternoon when we take a nap, we got to make sure we don't have any cowlicks and hair sticking up everywhere, all right? And if I only take, the worst for me is if I've got a cowlick in the back. You can't see back there. And I get home and all of a sudden I'm scratching the back of my head and all of a sudden I feel a big old bunch of hair sticking up in the back after I've been at church. I'm like, why didn't someone say something to me? Like, oh my goodness, babe, where were you at? I'm sorry, I didn't see it from behind you. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Brother Josh, you don't have to worry about that, huh? It must be a blessing. Brother Chad, must be a blessing. The blessings of not having hair. But James used the illustration of a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror and rushes out the door, forgets what he saw, and doesn't change anything. And sometimes the ladies probably wish we took a little more time, maybe in there, right? Looking at that mirror. Could you just look at yourself a little bit more to fix yourself up a little bit? But he used this illustration because sometimes as a Christian, we read God's word, we hear the preaching of God's word, but we're just taking a quick listen, a quick look at it, and we don't think, what is it in my life? We're not looking at it as a mirror. I think if we looked at God's word like a mirror, it reveals things in our life that need to be fixed. It shows our ugly, self-centered self. Problems and spots. I mean, imagine yourself with a white robe on and looking into a mirror, and all the spots are things you need to get out of your life, the things that need to change. It wouldn't be very white. It wouldn't be very white. A quick glance doesn't see it all. But a good, valuable look that is patient starts to see, I've got some things I need to work on. And a lot of times as Christians, God will use people in our life, mentors in our life, to point out some things. Naturally, as human beings, we don't like that. When someone points out something to us and they call us out, I've had some friends in my life call me out on some things. Man, I look back and I'm thankful for friends like that. I'm thankful for friends that didn't care what I thought. They wanted to help me and they wanted to point me in the right direction. And as a good Christian, when people do that, when you have a pastor who does that, or when you have a parent, young people, when you have a parent who does that, I still have my mom and dad point out things in my life. And they're not afraid to tell me. Sometimes I'm like, you know, you don't have to say that. But I look back and say, I needed to hear that. Sometimes your parents will say something, and at the time, they don't know what they're talking about. And you kind of brush it off. But when it's the truth, there's something about it just sticks, and you can't get it off your mind. And it's there, and you're pondering it, and you're thinking. And if you're doing the right thing, and it's something you need to fix, you'll fix it. You'll thank them later for pointing that thing out in your life. We all have problems, so I'm not saying to go around and say, all right, listen, I've been watching you lately, and you've got some things. I've got a whole notebook here of things that I've been seeing in your life. That's not what he's talking about in this scripture here. But there are people in our life that God uses to help point out some things in our life. And we should not just listen to them. We should not just listen to the preaching of God's word. Listen to our pastor. Listen to those people that are trying to help us. But actually apply the warnings and the help that they're trying to give us. God does not care about how much Bible you know. So he cares about how much Bible you obey. I've known a lot of people that know the Bible better than I do. But they don't obey it. Their lives show they don't obey it. They know a lot. The smartest man in the world just the other day said, there is a God. Obviously, he knows a lot of the Bible, but I guarantee you, just from looking at his profile page and the things that he does in his life, boy, he's not listening to much of what the Bible says. One thing he listens to is, oh, there is a God. I don't know if you hear that. He came out, his smartest, the highest IQ in the whole world apparently came out the other day. He says, I believe there's a God. And so it's like, wow, now we can believe that there is a God. The smartest guy in the world supposedly believes there is, so now we know. Whew, I was sweating that one. But I clicked on his page and and you could tell real quick, this guy doesn't really believe the whole Bible. He just believes there's a God. He's not trying to someone who says, boy, I'm believing. I believe everything the Bible says and I'm going to obey it. God doesn't care about how much Bible you know. He wants you to obey the Bible. The second warning is hearers only of the word forget what they heard. Hearers only forget what they heard. How many of you have ever told your kids something to do? I've told my kids before to clean their room. They go in the room. I tell them, shut the door. Can't come out until you get done cleaning. I come in there. All of a sudden, I hear good giggling and laughing. And I go in there. I told you to clean your room. Oh, I forgot. No, you didn't. It just wasn't a priority on their list. It wasn't. And until I give a stern warning of what's going to happen if they don't get that done, I have to be the one to tell them it needs to be at the top of your priority. Not just something you get around to. It needs to be done now. A priority. We've heard what God's word has said. We've come to church. We hear it all the time. We know what God's word says. But sometimes we forget. On purpose. Because we don't. When you don't apply it, you easily forget it. They use this illustration with people's names. And how when you meet somebody, how they can tell you their name. And you can forget it 5 seconds later. Happened before, right? I learned a good way to remember people's names, okay? A very good way to remember people's names. What I want you to do is rub your cheek like this. Rub your cheek like this, all right? I got some of you. You were following what I was doing, but you didn't listen to what I was saying, right? That's what happens when we talk to people sometimes, is we're not listening to what they're saying. They're telling us their name. But we're just thinking about what our eyes are seeing, and we're not actually listening. It's amazing. Some people are very good with it. But what I've learned is they're not just naturally like that. They work at it. They either pray for people to remember names. I remember Brother Wilkerson, some of you know, he's very good at remembering names. One of the craziest times, he had met a man from our church. His name is Brother Bird. And a man from our church, Brother Bird, had met Brother Wilkerson in California when Brother Wilkerson lived out there probably 6-7 years before this time. And I just met him one time, brief conversation. Hi, my name is Brother Bird. And he was standing next to me. And anyways, we walked away, and that was it. 7 years later, we're at Hiles there. We're there for a basketball tournament, and Brother Bird came with us, and I'm in the hallway there with Brother Bird, and Brother Bird has his back turned to where Brother Wilkerson's coming from. Brother Wilkerson comes walking this way. Brother Bird turns around. He says, "Brother Bird, how are you doing?" Brother Bird's like, "What? What is your name again?" couldn't remember his name. He walked away from that, and we were both blown away that he remembered his name. And I said, "You know, it's amazing that Brother Wilkerson, he's talked about how that he processes in his mind to try to remember, to truly remember somebody's name until it's locked in there." He said, "I'm not always perfect, but I try to keep thinking of that person's name after I meet them and try to meet them and meet them." And he says, "A lot of times if there's someone that I'm going to, maybe in our church or somebody that in the ministry or somebody that I run, I try to write their name down and I pray for them. So next time I see them, I remember them." There was a missionary family that came here that had 10 kids to our church right when I first moved here. And he told me, he said, the crazy experience I had with Brother Wilkerson is, he said, Brother Wilkerson, when we went to their church, we were there for a couple days. And he memorized all 10 of my kids' names. He said, we went on the mission field years later. We came back 6 years later. We came back and we were furloughed, going on to a few different churches. And we happened to go to a church where Brother Wilkerson was there. And they said, Brother Wilkerson remembered all 10 of our kids' names. 3 of them were at Bible college, and he still remembered their names without even seeing their face. And I said, yeah, that one's probably the best I've heard right there. That's crazy. It's when we hear things, we hear a lot. You think about in a day-to-day life, just in what you hear in life, how much of it actually sticks, though. It's a challenge for us in anything in life to really process and apply it to our life. James here is trying to tell us, stop forgetting what you're hearing. Make this thing a priority in your life. When you come to church, don't just come to church to check it off that, man, that was great, I did a good thing that I came to church. Come to church to get something out of it. Get at least one thing or 2 things, write them down so that when Monday comes, for when you're on, when you hear preaching on Sunday or on Wednesday, Thursday comes. Write something down after church at a service to remember on Monday. This is what I remembered hearing. I want to think about this today. I want to process this. I want to try to get more out of this. Maybe I want to look at that scripture and read that passage of scripture again. Hearing only of the word and forgetting it. The Bible calls it a forgetful hearer. Thirdly, hearers only end up deceiving themselves. Hearers only end up deceiving themselves. I've seen many people come to church and then them leave over some random issue or random thing that had nothing to do with scripture. My dad always tell me there's someone they haven't been listening to preaching lately. They've been here, they've been in church, but he said they're not listening to the preaching. He said if somebody who's following what the Bible says would never leave a church over something like that. If he said they come to church every single service, they're here, they may hear it, but they don't apply any of it. They don't use any of it. They don't ponder upon any of it. They don't think, how can I use this in my life? And then when something happens, someone upsets them, or there's something said, man, they're quick to leave because they don't have a foundation in Scripture. They haven't been applying parts of Scripture that need to be applied to them. James mentions this twice in verse number 22 when he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And then again in verse number 26 it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I believe every chapter in the Bible is designed in some way to be applied to our daily lives. Every part of Scripture. Why would God give it to us? Now you say, I don't understand some parts. That's okay. Move on to the next part that you understand. And eventually, If you keep reading and you stay faithful with this, God will open up different things in Scripture all throughout your Christian life. There's things today that I'm finding in Scripture that I didn't find 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I was still going to church. I was still faithful to church. But God, if we apply it to our life and we are actually trying to get things out of Scripture, God will show us things in time. I've read the same passage of Scripture many times. And sometimes I'm like, how did I not see that before? Man. I was telling our class the other day, at sometimes during preaching, pastors preaching or someone's preaching, and I'll just see something in Scripture that maybe the pastor's not even preaching on, but I'll see something in a verse and it's just like, whoa, God will open up a thought about that passage of Scripture that's, man, I've never thought about that before. Man, I'll write it down in my Bible. I'll get my phone out real quick and write that down. We'll look up that more. I've read through that before. Like a second ago, we've read through parts of Scripture and we come back and we're like, wait, what did I just read about? There's so much in Scripture for us to get. So much. Most books out there, you read them one time, you put them on the shelf, and you never read them again. They just collect dust, and they just become a decoration in your house. And man, that was nice. Maybe a self-help book, you'll get it out of you once in a great while and read that. But man, there is so much in the Bible that it is something that should be read every single day. Every single day. There is something you can get out of it every single day of your life. Mark Twain said, "It isn't the parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand that bother me." Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? I put this down, talking about, you know, treating the Bible as a mirror in your life. The Bible can be the best tide pin to get rid of your stains if you will let it. It'll be the best tide pin. You use tide pins all the time. Boy, the Bible, if you just use that, it'll help get rid of some things. It'll help clean you out. It'll help you get right with some things in your life that need to get right. I got a couple pieces of advice and we'll be done tonight. Number one, ask God to give you a to-do list during a sermon. Ask God to give you a to-do list during a sermon. What are some things, Lord, that I can do? Jot them down. Use the altar. Come down to the altar. I think every service is a good service for everybody to come down here to the altar. Give me a bad reason to come down to the altar. I've heard people say, oh, I don't go to, you know, do that, and they give me all these different reasons. Give me a reason, a scriptural reason, why you shouldn't come down to the altar, why we shouldn't pray. Man, there's some messages that maybe they weren't really preached at me. Maybe it was a message that was preached more for teenagers, but I try hard to get something out of every message and to use it in my life. Sometimes I'm doing good in a certain thing in my life that maybe the pastor preaches on, and I'm like, man, that's something I'm actually doing good on right now. You know what I go to the altar to pray about? Lord, help me to keep doing good at that. Help me to keep that decision that I made a long time ago. Help me never to waver on that. Help me to stay right, Lord. I want to use this place as a, I don't want to be get to the point where I'm just, I can pray where I'm at. I'm the type of person that I want to use the altar. There are many reasons. I want to use the altar to be an encouragement to the pastor who just preached, poured his heart out, studied. God gave him something to preach to the congregation. I want to be an encouragement to the pastor. Hey, that helped me. Me going to the altar says, hey, it helped him. Man, he's praying about something. I don't know what it was, but it helped him in some way, somehow. It's an encouragement to the pastor. But I also want to be, I want to be an example to other people. Maybe they're scared to come down to the altar. Maybe they're nervous coming to the altar. If I go down to the altar, maybe they'll go down to the altar and get something right with the Lord or make a decision going down to the altar. I give you many reasons why I believe the altar is a great place to cement changes in your life that you hear during preaching. Man, I need to work on that. Man, I should do that. Man, I should keep doing that. Altar is a great place for that. Verse 26, James gives us an example of someone who hears the word but does not do it, and so they deceive themselves. This man thinks he is religious. Religion are infrequently used in the New Testament. And James used them here because he is describing a man who prides himself in the outward trappings of the faith, but who is not applying it to his heart. He is a religious Jew now professing faith in Christ, but like many of the Jews, his religion is a matter of pride. It's an outward thing and something he's putting on like a performance. And he prays, he fasts, he tithes, he goes through all of the rituals. But in James' example, it says he doesn't bridle his tongue. And James says this man deceives his own heart and his religion is worthless. All these good things he's doing, it's worthless. Doesn't mean anything. All he's doing is just checking off a box. Now, secondly, to hear the word and do it leads to blessings. Verse 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." A blessed hearer and doer looks intently at the word of God. Sometimes when I read God's word, I'm not going to read 3 and 4 or 5 chapters. I just not. Sometimes I see a chapter and I'm like, you know what? I may just read 1 chapter. I may just read 10 verses. And I may just read those 10 verses 5 times over. And try, Lord, give me something out of this part of Scripture. I know I can see something here that you want to open up to me. Give me something I can use in my life. God, looking at Scripture intently, asking the Lord, Lord, help me. Before you read your Bible in the morning or in the evening, whenever the time is that you do it, do you pray first? Ask the Lord, the one who wrote Scripture, who gave it to you. Do you ask him, Lord, help me before I read this? Wake me up. Wake my mind up. Help me not to daydream while I read your word. Give me something, Lord. I'm hungry. Feed me as I read. Or do we just wake up, get through it, and get on? Now we got to go to work. Got to get things done. Or is it a priority to get something out of God's word? How many have ever heard of Yogi Berra? You ever heard of Yogi Berra? Of course you have, right? Yeah, if you haven't ever heard of Yogi Berra, look up his, what do they call him? They call him his statements that he says. Anybody? Yogiisms, there it is. Look up some of his yogiisms, all right? I have one for you. He says, you can see a lot just by looking. You can see a lot just by looking. You got to look him up. If you've never heard of yogiisms, go look him up online. He's a baseball player from years and years ago, and he just had a funny personality. Just said something, if you're like, what? Okay. But isn't that true, though? You can see a lot just by looking. I think that's true of a Bible study. I've often read a passage many times and missed something out of it. And next time I came back, I finally saw something out of it. When I've read books before, I'll read a book and I'll see something. And I thought, how did I not see that part to pull that out of the verse? Well, the problem is I didn't see it. The problem was that I probably didn't look for it intently. I didn't look for something there. I didn't ask the Lord to help give me something. But I appreciate, that's why a pastor preaches all the time, I think it's important for us to not only read God's word, but I think to read books that great men of God have pulled things out of Scripture and explained in a book for us to read that give us great thoughts out of Scripture that help apply them to our daily life. That's why I enjoy reading some of the old books by Dr. Hiles and Dr. Lester Roloff and John R. Rice and Dr. Treber and many of the great men of God that have written great books that have used the same Scripture and the same Bible that you read every single day, but have pulled some things out of there to help us to point our attention to. The blessed hearer and doer applies the word not just to his outward behavior, but to his heart. And also the blessed hearer and doer continues applying the word to his heart. James says, and abides by it. He didn't just say, read God's word and apply it when you're going through something and say, all right, thank you, Lord, for the help. I'll come back to you when I go through that same thing again. I'll come right back and I'll ask you for some help with that. No, God says it's a daily thing. Applying it daily in our lives, no matter what you're going through, God says, apply God's word, be a hearer and a doer of his word, and continuing, abiding by it, using it in your life. God will never use you as a Christian to be a help or a blessing in anybody else's life if all you are is a hearer. No one's coming to a hearer to help them. If they are, they realize real quickly they ain't got much. They're pretty hollow when it comes to their Christian faith. They don't have much. They can't give me much from Scripture because all they do is hear it. They don't live by it. They're not a doer of it. They can't show me anything in Scripture. They can't help me in any way. Are you real? Or are we just coming to church and sitting here? The Bible says in Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Lastly, the blessed hearer and doer applies the word so that it can change his conduct and his character in the sight of God. Pure religion teaches us to do everything as in the presence of God and to seek his favor. But this is what I've learned by applying God's word. When we apply God's word, it results in selfless conduct in the sight of God. The word visit means more than dropping in for a social call, which is we should do. There's people in our church. There's people in our community that need our help. We have a bus ministry, and those that go and knock on those doors, those people need help. They need a visit. I guarantee you, you talk to the people that work on our bus routes here in our area, and you ask them, every time they go soloing, they see something or hear something that's going on. A parent talks to them about an issue in their family, or a neighbor or a friend. There's constant problems that are going on, and they need someone to visit them, someone to help them, someone to point them in the right direction. But the Bible here talks about the fatherless, the orphans, and the widows and their affliction. It says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That message that Pastor preached the other day about, man, reaching out a hand, helping somebody up, picking somebody up. You know, when we do that, we're not thinking about ourselves. When we don't help anybody else, we're not thinking about anybody else. It's very easy to have a pity party for ourselves and be upset about a lot of things in life that are going on. And boy, we can complain a lot. As human beings, we can complain a lot. Boy, we can vent to our wife. We can vent to our husband. We can vent to our friends. We can find all the problems in this world. But somebody who is busy following God's word, somebody who's busy helping somebody else, doesn't have time for that stuff. Doesn't have time for that junk. I'm serious. If you just get busy serving the Lord, you get busy helping other people. There are a lot of people in our church that could use a friend. People that could use a text during the week. Hey, just checking in on you. Want to let you know I'm praying for you. During a week, do weeks go by where you never help anybody else? You're never thinking about reaching out to anybody? Never call anybody up? Never shoot anybody a text of encouragement? Do constant weeks go by in your life where that's just the norm for you? Because the Bible says, go to verse 27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted for the world. God needs Christians to help others, to be an example to others. God can use you if your life is right. You see, when we're spotted up and we have no intention of fixing the problems, looking in the mirror and saying, boy, Lord, help me fix some things. When we don't have those type of intentions, God doesn't want to use you. God doesn't want to use you or me to help somebody else if we don't have any intention of helping ourselves and asking the Lord to help us. Why would he use us? Why would he use our poor example to help somebody else? Now, we can't do much on our own. We're worthless. But boy, when we've got the Savior's help and we've got the power of the Savior in our life, and it's evident, how many of you have ever seen somebody you could say, man, they had a messed up life, but you can see the power of God in their life. You've seen somebody like that, and you can see the change happening in their life. I've seen God take some people whose life were turned upside down. I mean, I've seen a lady who was homeless at one point in her young life, and life looked like it had no direction, and today she's a pastor's wife. Man, only the power of God can do that. Only the power of God. And you know, God used somebody in that lady's life who was actually not just a hearer of the word, but somebody who was a doer, came to church, heard some preaching, saw a lady needed help, and what'd she do? She went and helped her, showed her a path, how to go forward in her life. God will use you in the same way if you get busy, if you stay busy doing what God says in his word and not just hearing it, but applying it on Monday morning when you go to work. The applied word results in separated character in the sight of God. And with this, I'm done, but a gray-haired old lady, long member of a church, shook hands with the pastor after service one Sunday morning. She said, that was a wonderful sermon, Pastor. Just wonderful. Everything you preached applies to somebody I know. Whew, so good. You just hit it on for everybody today. That's not the point of coming to church and hearing preaching. And what do they call that? Pitchfork, you know, just, man, that's good for them. That's great, Pastor. Thank you for that. Good, man. That'll help so-and-so. Sometimes Christians come to church, and when they hear preaching, all they do is, oh, yep, that's good for them. Yeah, amen, preacher. Wow. Woo, park there for a while. You may not say it out loud, but that's what you're thinking on the inside. Amen. Oh, that person, yep. Okay. You better do some evaluation upon yourself. You better look in the mirror. You're not all hot stuff. You're not who you think you are. That's not the attitude God wants us to come to church with. James here is not telling us we need to come to church and apply it to other people or just underline all the things in blue in the Bible and just say, man, that's good. I'm going to underline that. No, God says, apply it. Do it. Obey it. Do you want God's blessing in your life? I ask teenagers that all the time. Do you want God's blessing when they're trying to make decisions in their life? Very simply, do you want God's blessing? The obvious answer is usually, well, yeah. Okay, then start getting busy for the Lord. Start doing what the Bible says. Stop just hearing it, coming to church, but doing what God says. Don't be a forgetful hearer of the word. Become an effectual doer, and God will bless you for it. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much, Lord, for just a simple passage that I know many here have heard numerous times, didn't preach anything that was new to them. But Lord, it's something that we have to be reminded of, because sometimes even as mature Christians that have been coming to church for a long time, Lord, we can kind of become stagnant in our Christian life and we hear things over and over, and Lord, and becomes monotonous and the busyness of life gets in the way, Lord. We come to church sometimes and we're tired or we're daydreaming, we're thinking about other things. We just are just checking off the box. We're doing the good thing of coming to church. We're hearing it. It's coming in one ear, but it's going out the other ear, Lord. I pray as Christians, Lord, we'd slow down. Slow down our lives, Lord, and just start getting real with you and finding out what it is in our life, Lord, that needs to change, needs to be added to our life, and start getting more out of Scripture when we read it, getting more out of the preaching, meaning getting more out of counsel from our pastor, Lord. I pray that we would slow down life and just think upon those things and use this passage of Scripture, Lord, to meditate upon. In Jesus' name.